Praise the Lord. Have a Bible tonight. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter number 18. Amen. I want to begin reading tonight in verse 18. The Bible says, "A certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do that to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witnesses. Honor thy father and thy mother.' And he said, 'All these have I kept from my youth up.' Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, 'Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' And we heard this, he was very sorrowful." Watch this, "for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' And he said that," now watch this, "'the things which are impossible with men are possible with God.'" I want to preach tonight for just a little while on doing the impossible. Doing the impossible. Amen. As we look at this, you say, "Well, preacher, how could you do the impossible? If something's impossible, then you can't do it, right?" Amen. When you say that, hello, somebody's in. I know these people in here. I can see you. Amen. If you say that something's impossible, then you say, "Well, you can't do it." Amen. But if you can't do it, who can? God can. The Bible says there's nothing that's impossible with God. There's a lot of things for us that we can't do, but God can. He says, "What are you saying, Pastor Jeff?" Now I'm saying, well, if seems like these things impossible in your life to do, amen, then we need to just let somebody else do it. Now I'm afraid that we've got the mindset in our Baptist churches today that we take that literally. Amen. We come across some things and it just seems like they might be difficult. So we just kind of just step aside and we'll just let somebody else do it. But you know what's happening in our churches today? There's nothing getting done because nobody's stepping up to do it. Amen. But we have to realize that the things that are impossible with us don't seem possible. God's able. I know when God was calling me to preach and I was running from it and I was making me miserable and I was making Teresa miserable, my children miserable, and we was all miserable. When you got four people in a house and everybody's miserable, it's not a very good place. And I finally come to myself one day on the riverbank and I said, "Lord, I can't do this no more. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But you're going to have to help me. I can't do it." Amen. I was pretty much saying, "Lord, it's impossible for me to do what you want me to do." And he said, "That's all right, praise God." He said, "I'm good at the impossible. I'm good at doing things, praise God, that nobody else can do." He's done it for centuries and generations and decades, and he'll do it again for you and I. Amen. We put our faith and trust in him. So we see in our text here, we see this rich young ruler. And he comes to Lord Jesus Christ and comes running to him, it says in the book of Mark. If you look in the book of Mark of this account, in verse 17, chapter 10 of 17, it said, "When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Now this fellow won't know what he could do to inherit eternal life. Now inheritance is something that you get in the end. There's a whole lot of folks waiting on mom and daddy to croak so they can get an inheritance. Amen? I hate to say it that way, but it's true. Waiting on mom and dad to croak so they can get their inheritance. Amen. Praise God. That prodigal son, he wanted his inheritance before that. Amen. He wanted to go ahead and get it ahead of time. He said, "Just go ahead and give me what I'm going to inherit, and I'll just go ahead and spend it now." There's a whole lot of folks that's getting their inheritance, and they're going off and blowing it on riotous living. Now that word is not righteous, it's not righteous living, it's not right living, it's riotous living, it's living that's outside of the will of God. It's doing those things, praise God, contradictory to what God would want. But this rich young ruler comes, Lord Jesus Christ, and Mark says he come running to him, he slides in at his feet, and he said, "Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" There's a whole lot of times that we think that it's up to us to do what to bring glory to God. Amen? Hello? Now stay with me. We're going somewhere with this tonight if you'll stay with me. We do have a great responsibility, amen, before the Lord. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. So what God gives us in grace and faith and salvation, praise God, it's a great big gift that God's given us, and we have a lot of responsibility with that. Number one, we have the responsibility to show it to our family, our loved ones, our neighbors, and our community. He said we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're supposed to pass it out in a liberal fashion because what God has given us at no charge. We couldn't bought it. You couldn't pay for salvation if it's available. We couldn't afford it. Amen? But praise God, God offered it to us free of charge. But this young fella comes sliding into the Lord, and he's rich. He said, what can I do that I may inherit eternal life? What can I do? A lot of times we get caught up in what we can do. Amen? Praise God. And the Lord says to him this, and it's an amazing thing. You know, he goes through the spell with the things he does. He said, why callest thou me good? None is good save one. That is God. Verse 19. And in verse 20, he said, thou knowest the commandments. In other words, what he says, he's asking him a question. It's no more of a question than a statement. He said, do you know what God's word says? But I can stop right here and say this. There's a whole lot of people in the world today that have no idea what God's word says. That's why America is so messed up. And they're bringing up their children and their little ones, praise God, under the same umbrella and wondering why the world is getting worse and worse. We need the Word of God to establish upon. Without it, we have no foundation. We have to have the foundation, the Word of God. That's where we get our morals, and that's where I get our convictions. Without convictions, we have no morals, and things just decay and fall away. Amen. So the Lord asked him about the commandments. He said, thou knowest the commandments. He said, do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witnesses. He says, honor. Now watch this. Honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. He said, that's the commandments. And he said, this rich young ruler, he says, all these have I kept from my youth up. He said, all my life I've kept the commandments. All my life I have tried to do right. Amen. And then the Lord says this, yet lackest, verse 22, the Lord answereth these, and when Jesus heard these things, he saith unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. He said, there's one thing that you're lacking. Amen. He said, you're not lacking, you're lacking compassion. He said, sell all that you've got, give it to the poor, distribute to the poor. Amen. He said, and so you can get treasures in heaven. He said, and come and follow me. I want to say the most important part of that is following Jesus. He'll take us places that we need to go. He'll help us to get there, and praise God, He'll prepare a place for us when we get there, over on the other side of glory, amen, where we can come in. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad that's that way, ain't you? So he says this, and he said, but the Bible says when he told him this, now this rich young ruler, he must have been a good independent Baptist. Because when he told him he had to give a tithe, he had to make an offering of what he had, the Bible said he went away sorrowful. Amen? When it hit him in his, hey, he was good with everything else and all the commandments, but when he said that he had to sell all that he had, amen, and distribute to the poor, the Bible said that he went away sad. Amen. What God was saying, what the Lord was telling him here, it wasn't about getting rid of all his stuff, praise God. It was about not putting stuff before Jesus. Amen. If we get too much stuff before the Lord Jesus Christ, then it makes it impossible to follow him. Because we get to follow in the stuff. Amen. Yeah, let me just ask you, have you ever got so caught up in the things the world got so busy? Hello? Got so busy that you don't have time for God. Now the Lord gave us 7 days a week, Brother Junior. Amen. He gave us 7 days a week, and he said, one day a week, he said, you need to rest. He said, I'm going to give you and require a day of rest. Now, in the Old Testament picture, it was the Sabbath. Amen. It was a Saturday. It was the last day of the week. He said he created things, and then the last day gave them a Sabbath rest. But then after the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, now listen to me, because a lot of people get this confused. Amen. After the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, they begin to meet together and worship the Lord Jesus Christ on the first day of the week. It was a day that Jesus got up victorious over death in the grave. And they begin to worship Him on the first day of the week. Amen. I want to say this, God give us a time to rest, we ought to take advantage of it. Now, I know these times and we get our ox in the ditch. And we have to do things, you know, on Sundays that we just can't get past. Amen, I realize that. But if we ain't very careful, we'll catch ourselves pushing the ox just a little bit. Amen. Hello? We'll push it just a little bit that we can get him on the edge of the ditch, so hopefully he'll fall over and so that we'll have an excuse. Amen. But God Almighty, praise God. Now we're talking about doing the impossible. And so we see what's taking place. He said that to leave and follow me, and he gives us a day of rest, gives us a day that we can come together and worship the Lord. And we can rest from our labors in Jesus Christ our Savior. And what he does, he takes his old physical body and gives us a place we come together as God's people, and a place where we can rest in the Lord, and we can refuel our soul, praise God, that inward person, the inward man, so we come out shouting on Monday. Amen. Praise God. Because we've worshiped on Sunday. Amen. Did I say Monday a while ago? First day of the week. No, it's Sunday. Amen. I'll be all right. But it was Sunday. Praise the Lord. So we can come out Monday and be fueled up, ready to go, give God glory. Amen. It's not so hard. If God gave everything he had, Jesus Christ gave his life on Calvary for us, died and was resurrected and went to sit at the right hand of the Father, and sitting at the right hand of the Father every day for you and I, we ought to be able to sit in a church pew for a few hours a week. Amen. It don't hurt that much. Just take it as rest, praise God. Rest your mind. Put everything away from you. Put everything behind and pray. Hey, as Granddad said, it'll all be there when you get back. Amen. Just leave it alone. Leave it. Just lay it down, praise God. Come worship God. Fill up that inner man, glory to God. And when you get home, you'll feel better because you did. Many times we've talked about coming to church on Wednesday night. Sometimes you just come just wore out. I know. Amen. You work, you do this, you run to and fro, praise God, and you come just wore out. But when you get out, you say, and the old devil, first thing he'll do, say, well, you're wore out, you ought to just stay home tonight. Amen. Now, ain't that right? And I know he's never done none of you that way. Because every one of you is a super saints, and God, the devil just don't come by and bother you much, but he does me. Amen. He'll say, just go ahead and stay home. It'd be easier. And I'm saying, well, Lord, give me one good reason why I ought to go tonight on Wednesday night. And he says, well, my wife said, honey, you're the pastor. Amen. So he don't have to remind me. She does. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad for a pastor's wife? Always full of encouragement. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every time I tell her, honey, I'm just going to quit. She says, okay. And I'm waiting, you know. She don't say nothing. She's okay. Amen. Because she knows there's a fire down in you. Amen. God didn't put it there. She didn't put it there. She can't put it out. So, Brother Cass, she just leaves it alone. It smolders. I pray God, and then it jumps up and goes to burning again. And next thing you know, it's time to go to the house of God. And there you are. Just like old Jeremiah said, he said, Lord, he said, I'm just going to give it up. I'm going to quit. In the same verse before he got out of verse, he said, but there's a fire in my bones. Amen. I got to tell somebody about Jesus because he's so good. Amen. He's been so good to me. So Jesus told him, he said, just sell what thou hast. And he went away sorrowful. Amen. So we see that Jesus, he says to his disciples, when he seen the sorrow in the heart of this rich young ruler, and Jesus, verse 24 said, when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? He said, how hard is it going to be for them to get to heaven? Because they have these things that they're putting in front of God. Be careful that you don't put things in front of God. Amen. I've seen people take their people and use them as excuses for not going and worshiping God, not serving the Lord like you ought to. You better be very careful with that because God can take them out of the way. Amen. We need to be very careful. Don't use people as an excuse not to do what we ought to do for the glory of God. Because you might just get them taken out early. Amen. Sometimes that happens. Amen. We begin to use people. But he said, how hardly. And when he said that, the disciples said, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? So they asked the question. They said, if the Lord says, well, this rich young ruler said, those that have riches, how can they enter into the kingdom of heaven? How can they be saved? How can they go to heaven if they've got all these riches that they're putting before God? And the people, the disciples and the people said, you know what? These people that's wealthy, these people that's got, he said, I thought they got all that stuff because God was just blessing them and poured out blessings upon them. And boy, if they can't get to heaven, who can? I want to say, folks, this, it's not about the money. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, if it wasn't for Him, you couldn't cry out of bed and go to work in the morning. Amen. You couldn't scratch out a living if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ to helping you. If it wasn't for the power of God enabling you to get up and to go. Amen. But they said they didn't understand it. Amen. They said, who then can be saved? But notice what Jesus said. Now Jesus speaks to His disciples. And His disciples, in great astonishment, they're like, they couldn't believe it then. If a rich man can't be saved, then, you know, it's been getting all the blessings of God, then who else can be, who can be saved? But notice Christ's answer, verse 27. And He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen? He said, the things that are impossible with men, you and I, He said, they're absolutely possible with God. Amen. Praise God. So we got two thoughts here this evening. Amen. We got a question of salvation. And I want to ask you, can a man save himself? Huh? You mean you can't keep the commandments? You can't keep the law? You can't live right, do right, walk right, act right, praise God, and save yourself, be ready to go to heaven just any minute? How do you know? How do you know you can't? Because I'll tell you why, because every one of us have tried it. Hello? Brother, we've all tried to be good and good enough. But being good and good enough ain't good enough. Amen, to get you to heaven. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a higher power than what we have to get us to heaven. Amen. So we see it to be saved, and even harder to follow in a holy living, praise God, before the Lord Jesus Christ and for God the Father, is very difficult within ourselves. I would say, Brother Chris, that it's just almost something that's impossible to do. I've tried to be good. Amen. I've tried to turn over a new leaf. I've tried to act right and walk right, talk right and live right. But I struggle with that, don't you? Now, I know you may be better than me. You may be more spiritual than me. You may be a holier than thou. And you just walk every day. You get up perfect. You walk perfect. You live perfect. And you lay down your head perfect. And everything perfect. If you are, praise God. God bless your heart. You're the exception and not the rule. Amen. Because every one of us, Brother Charles, the Bible says, found come short glory of His glory every day. We sin and come short of His glory every day. So we see the question of our salvation and following in holy living is almost impossible for me and you. In other words, we might say that it's impossible for you and I to live a holy life, wholly decorated and committed to the Lord. Amen. But we also know the second thing is what is impossible with man to do is not impossible for God to accomplish. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's not you and I, but it's God that makes the difference. Now we can come to church and we can sit in church and we can try to be holy and we can try to live right and we ought to be doing that according to what He says. Pray God to the best of our ability. But I want to say tonight unequivocally, according to the Word of God, that we cannot do it. You cannot do it by yourself. You'll try that, but before you pillow your head tonight, I mean, it's 10 minutes till 7. Before you pillow your nail, you'll let yourself down. Amen. I don't know about you, I let myself down every day. I fail me every day. They're just things that I'd like to do, try to accomplish, but just impossible for me to do without the help of the Lord. Amen. Praise His holy name. I'm glad God is able. But God gives us, the Lord gives us two great lessons in this, of this rich young ruler who wants to inherit eternal life. He wants to be able to get hold. Now what he's actually wanting is like today, and we're living in, he wants things free. Amen? He wants to be able to get it without doing anything to get to attain to it. The world that we're living in today, all around us, wants everything free. They say, I want all the free stuff. Well, you go line up to get the free stuff, you'll stand there a long time, you won't get nothing. You say, you preacher, they're giving out free stuff all over this country. I mean, I won't say that's a lie of the devil. There is nothing free. Everything that they're pricing out and trying to, it's paid for by somebody. Amen. You youngs, look at me. Whatever they're giving out free, mom and daddy, mama and papa worked for it, prayed God so that you could get it. Amen. It's not up us sitting just with our hand out, praise God. We ought to be lifting up our hands, praise God, and work and try to achieve what God have us to do. Amen. Praise God. You're welcome. And I know it's not comforting to hear. I know a lot of people sitting around thinking, well, praise God, one day in a little while they're going to give us everything free. We just sit at the house and play video games. Amen. That ain't going to happen. Amen. One, it causes why when you get all free thing, praise God, you'll have to give up the video game and your power and everything else. You'll be living under a rock, praise God, and going in line, getting a line for a stale piece of bread and a piece of cheese. Amen. Because it'll run out. But he says here, in a Christian life, man can do nothing. Amen. Salvation is impossible. Even salvation is impossible for a common man. It's not possible for us to even be saved without God Almighty. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained before the foundation of the world. God had a plan, and He had a plan for you, and He had a plan for me, and He said to pray, and He had a plan for Himself, and He said, if you'll just become part of my plan, we'll march through this thing together with our head held high, praise God, and we'll cross over on the other side, because, hey, even though we can't do it, there's nothing impossible with God. Amen. Just who you put your faith in. Trust in. And I preached Wednesday night, if you wasn't here, on the weak link. On the weak link. Who is the weak link? A weak link that we have is unbelief. I have to be careful saying these things five, two or three times. I have to get messed up. Amen. We'll be talking about chicks and stuff like that again. Amen. Chicks and tiggers. Like we did one time. But we sure do appreciate God when He's able to touch our hearts and our minds. Amen. But salvation is not in us. And that salvation is, Lord, salvation is impossible to us, but nothing's impossible with God. Even our faith. It's what we was preaching about on Wednesday night, how our faith is, our weak link is unbelief. Just not believing and trusting in the Lord. Jesus said that we should believe in Him. Amen. I told him in John chapter 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. Didn't he say that? I didn't imagine that. It's the book. Amen. So he said, believe in me, believe in God, believe in me. In other words, he said, we got to have an intellectual knowledge of who He is. Amen. The preacher preached this morning on In the Beginning God. In other words, God, there wasn't no doubt about God. God was. Amen. In the beginning. Praise the Lord. I don't have no problem. Hey, pray. In my Bible, Genesis chapter 1, right above that, I wrote, I believe. And I wrote it in there, praise God. I believe it. In the beginning, God. Not somebody, not Mohammed, not some Greek philosophy God or something like that. In the beginning, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He did, ain't you? In the beginning, God. So He said we need to believe in Him. Now, if you look in John chapter number 1, I don't know why I'm going back to this, but I just feel led to do this tonight. John chapter number 1, hey, repetition is good for the soul. Amen. That's how you retain stuff, is repeat it. In John chapter number 1, he says this, he came to his own, verse number 11, and his own received him not. If Jesus comes to you, listen to me, you better receive him. Amen. He might not come that way again. The Holy Ghost, God goes to stir in your heart, right? You can't be saved by yourself. That's what I'm saying. What's impossible for us, praise God, is not impossible for God, but God has to be in it. Hello? I've heard a lot of people saying they got saved at Bible schools, things like that, where they went up with a crowd and they made a profession. But we better know, praise God, that the Holy Ghost of God was a-stirring and dealing with our heart, showed us, number one, that we was lost and that we needed to be saved. We need a Savior. Because we realized we couldn't save ourselves. But he said, but in verse number 12, he said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So what Bible tells us here, it said we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God Almighty, intellectual knowledge. And he said we need to believe to the point of believe on him. That means to be trusted in him and have confidence in him. Amen. And I know that was a rerun for some of you that was here Wednesday night, but there were some that wasn't. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that didn't hurt you at all either. Amen. So we need to believe in God. We need to believe on God. We need to believe in Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe on Lord Jesus Christ. We need to put our confidence, our trust in Him and on Him. Because we have to realize that we can't do it ourselves. I said that to say this. We try to do good. We try to be good. We work at it. But we fail. Amen. So we try again, and we'll try a little harder. What happens? We fell again and again and again and again. Amen. Until it begins to be old news. Now listen to me. If we ain't very careful, Brother Junior, we fail so many times with ourselves trying to do right and walk right and act right and talk right and be right. And we fail, we keep coming short. So we get to a point, if we ain't very careful, and I believe a whole lot of our church family's done this, Miss G. They just give up, thrown town, went home. They said, you know what? I just can't do this. There's no use. I'm just going to give up. And you know what? They're absolutely right. They're correct. It's impossible for you and I to live and be pleasing to God. Amen. Absolutely impossible. He said, well, preacher, why are we here? Just shut her down, close the book, and let's just go to the house. Amen. Eat, drink, eat. Proverbs said, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Amen. Boy, we're getting excited now, ain't we? Praise God, everything's looking up. Done went to church looking to get lit. That preacher done told me I'm just a sorry no account sinner. Wasn't no way in the world live for God. Amen. If we closed her down right now, you wouldn't have a chance. You just go to the house and give it up. But I'm glad God didn't leave it that way. We try again to the point that we want to give up. Praise God. But what we got to do is just realize, praise God, that we could be, instead of giving up, we need to just become absolutely helpless before God. Do like Paul did, say, Lord, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I can't. I need some help. Amen. What'd God do? God helped him. Look at Romans chapter number 7. I'm going to try to grab another gear and speed up here just a minute. But I want us to get this tonight because it'll help our hearts. Paul says in Romans chapter number 7, verse 15. Well, verse 14, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That word carnal means to be fleshly. Amen. He said, hey, listen, he said, I know the law is spiritual, so I need to be a spiritual person. He said, but I'm caught up in this flesh, this body of clay that I live in. Verse 15, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You know what? We're all old sinners. If you're saved today, you're a sinner saved by grace. Amen. He said, for I know that in me, now watch this, verse 18, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul said, there's a will in me, so I want to do what's right. He said, I want to do the will of God. I want to be pleasing to my Heavenly Father. So I want to give glory to my Savior. He said, but I can't find it in me nowhere to do it right in the right way. Amen. You'll find in your Christian life, especially young Christians, it's a difficult task to try to find your way in a direction God have you to go. It seems like the devil's always trying to sidetrack you. The biggest tactic, let me just say this, the biggest tactic of the devil is to take you back to where you used to be. Because if he gets you back to there, then you got to start all over to try to build ground. And the only way you can start all over is to be like the prodigal, come to yourself out there in the wilderness and say, hey, in my Father's house is plenty, and I'm out here starving to death in this world, and I need some help. Amen? So then you got to plow your way back, get back to the Father's house, where the Father is, so they can help them, so they can get help. That's what the prodigal did. And that's a good thing. That's the way it ought to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hey, when my youngins need help, praise God. It blesses my heart when they call me and say, hey, listen, Daddy. I say, I need help. I don't understand some things. I say, well, I don't understand a lot of things, but if you tell me what you don't understand, I'll try to help you. And if I don't know the answer, we'll look for it together. Amen. Praise God that God would get the glory. So Paul's saying, I don't understand what's going on. He said, I can't help it when I do. I would not that I do. He said, I'm in a mess. He said, I'm trying to do right, but I can't find a way. The Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us a way. In Philippians chapter number 2. In Philippians chapter number 2, the Bible says this in verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, wherefore, my beloved, if you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now how much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? He said, for it is God. Now watch this. For it is God. Did you get that? It is who? It is God. See, he said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when we're trying to work it out and work out our salvation, figure out where we need to be, which direction we need to go, he said, praise God, what he got to do is get God work in us. Now, the foundation's already been set because if you're saved, born again, God lives in you. The Holy Ghost lives in you. And he said, we need just let God do the work that he wants to do in your life, that God's will be performed. He said, it's God who worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. In other words, God wants you to be the best that you can be. Amen? Praise God. Absolutely. So what is impossible with man is absolutely possible with God. Amen. But we got to remember that we don't serve a little God. And I'm not being irreverent anyway, but I believe a whole lot of us have little gods. Amen. I mean, little gods that you can put in a box. Hey, amen. A little god, you put him in your little box, and there's your god, and you carry with you. Amen. Maybe you carry with you everywhere you go. And I'm not being irreverent, but he's a little god. In your mindset, in our mentality, in our state of being, our God is not a very big God because He can't do for us these things that's impossible and nobody can help us with. But Paul says, praise God, that it's God Almighty who wills and will do of His good pleasure. Paul says in Romans 7, verse 18, he said, I know that in me, that's in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present with, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You'll find in this Christian life that when you the harder you try to do right, the harder your flesh and the devil will fight you. Man, you might as well just plan on it. If you try to do right, try to live right, try to act right, the devil and the flesh, people around, your own family will fight you if you try to live right for God. Amen? We've all seen it. They'll fight you. They'll stand against you. They'll become your enemies if you try to live right for God. They don't understand it. They don't understand that there's something inside you, praise God, that made a difference in you, and you just won't love Him because He first loved you. Paul goes on, verse 23, said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And he says this, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, exclamation point. He said, I'm just a wretched man. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, what Paul was talking about, in Nero's time of Paul was living, Nero, the patriarch of that time, when he didn't like you, he'd, for punishment, they'd take a dead body and they would chain it to you and turn you loose, and you'd have to go around with that dead body chained to you. And that putrefying, decaying body would impenetrate you and destroy you with it. And Paul said, it's just like I got an old dead body that I'm carrying around, an old dead carcass that I'm carrying around. I can't get away from it. And he said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? But then there's a revelation from the Lord. Amen. You might say, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, so my mind, what he done, he said, I focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he began to be that light in my life. He said, so God, he goes from being a little God to being a great big God, a God that's in control. Because there's nothing that's impossible with God. We have stories in the Word of God. Many stories about different people. We have a story, well, right beside of where I read to you in your hearing in Romans chapter number 4, the story of Abraham. And Abraham was made a promise from God that he had conceived seed and that he would have a son in his old age. Amen? And he waited, Abraham, he was 100 years old, and his wife Sarah was 90. And God made him a promise that he would have a son. And Abraham hung on to that promise. Amen. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, he said he staggered, talking about Abraham. And verse 19, he said, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know what happened to Abraham? God come along, told him, he said, listen, Abraham, he said, you're going to have seed. I pray God, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham was an old man. He said, glory, hallelujah. And the angel departed from him. And I believe old Abraham went around telling all his name. He said, glory to God. He said, I'm going to have a son. He said, hey, what do you mean? Did you find you another woman? What's going on? He said, no, pray God, me and Sarah, are we going to have a son? Pray God, hey, it won't be long. God done made a ton. He said, by the time this year, by time next year, pray God, I'm going to have a son. I believe, pray God, he staggered not at the promise, but he believed God, amen, and God said you're going to have a son. And I believe Abraham just went about telling it. Amen. Staggered not at the promise. He said, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. Why? Because God had made a promise. And there's nothing impossible with God. I know all them people around there probably looked at Abraham, looked at Sarah and Solomon and knew, you know, they was way up in the years, and they'd say, poor old Abraham. Amen. He's delusional. He's got dementia. He's running all around all over the country telling people that him and Sarah's going to have a baby. He's 100 years old and she's 90. Well, there ain't no way in the world. It's impossible for them to have a kid. Poor old feller, feeling sorry for him. Wonder why somebody didn't go down there and set him down and try to straighten him out on something. But praise God, about a year from that day, glory, hallelujah, they had a little old baby boy, glory, just exactly like God had promised they would, because he didn't stagger at it. Amen, amen, praise God. Doing the impossible is not impossible with God. Amen, living a righteous life. Amen, Christian life, praise God. The problem is, The problem is that we try to work it out partially within ourselves. Amen. Work at being a Christian. We ought to work at being a Christian. I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should work to do right and give so God can get glory out of our lives. But we ought to also take time to let God do that. Praise God. Let God be your help in all that you do. Not try to do it within ourselves, praise the Lord. We can't do it. We can't work out our salvation, praise God, but we can work with God in it. Amen. God begins to bless us and helps us. What are you talking about? I'm talking about absolute surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolute surrender to God Almighty and the Holy Ghost, realizing that they are our ever-present help. And Jesus said, amen. He said in John chapter 15, verse 5, he said, without me, ye can do nothing. So what does that tell us? Amen. That means that that tells us right out the gate that we need Jesus Christ to help us in everything we do. Because we can't do nothing without him. We can't save ourselves, can't keep ourselves, can't live right, act right, walk, talk right without the Lord Jesus Christ as our help. Amen. But with him, praise God, Paul says in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So Paul says, amen, he said, hey, listen, praise God. He said, in Romans, he said, I've tried everything. He said, I can't figure out how that I would have do not and that I would not that I do. He said, I'm in a mess, but praise God through Jesus Christ my Lord. He said, I'm starting to get some help. I'm starting to see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel. And in Philippians, he got to the point in Philippians 4:7, he said, praise God, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He said, nothing's impossible to me because of who lives in me. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Doing the impossible is not impossible with Jesus Christ our Lord. The things which are, verse 27 of Luke chapter 18, the things which are possible are impossible with men. The things which are impossible with you and me are possible with God. Amen. The help and hope we need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing impossible with Him. There's nothing that He can't do. Amen. And there's nothing that He can't help us do. But we need to include Him in everything. Man, Paul got help when he fully surrendered, realized he couldn't, but God could. When we surrender to the Lord and realize, you know, we can't, but He can. We all have things. You might say skeletons in our closet, boogers that chase us. Bad things, amen, things like that, things that we need to get away from, things that we ought to do, amen. It just seems that we can't get rid of them. But God says, if you'll let me, I'll help you. So I'll take it away. So I'll put something better in its place. So you can just praise and give God glory. Just begin to rejoice in the Lord. And Paul says, and again I say rejoice, amen, because what God has done. Doing the impossible is not impossible with God. I mean, He's able to do all things. And He's able to do it really well.